Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talking about this football team, Lions win again. They win shorthanded on defense. Find a way. They've won 11 straight. They're 12-1. They've clinched a playoff spot 3 weeks before Christmas. Yeah, this is something. Heather was there last night. We'll make sure to talk about that experience for people who were at the game last night. Big primetime atmosphere. John, a lot of the talk is about Dan Campbell's cojones, too. Four for five on fourth down, and some of them people might not have been all the way in on. Jared Goff talked about it afterwards.
It's amazing. And so you take into account those fourth down calls, five of them. He's 4 of 5. Everybody wants to look at third down efficiency. They were 7 of 15. But if you throw in that they actually did convert some of those possessions,
yes,
and those set of downs, you add those numbers in, and it's 11 of 15 that they were able to convert and keep the chains moving, or, you know, get the ball in the end zone. All of those different things play a part. 11 of 15 that you're able to do that. And so what did we say yesterday? They're going to have to win time of possession. And they did by a large margin, 36 to 24. All right, and then you look and say, okay, well, how many first downs did they have? They had 27 to Green Bay's 17. They absolutely dominated the number of plays. Hey, you don't want the defense to be vulnerable? Well, then you just don't let them run that many plays. 76 plays run by the Lions, only 45 by the Green Bay Packers. You're at risk a lot less because your offense is just staying on the field.
Yeah, look, I just can't rip Campbell for those fourth and shorts. When we had talked about it, they needed to possess the ball. You're right. Those conversions extend possessions. They keep your defense off the field. You don't get exposed. They didn't have the horses on defense. They were all beat up. It's ridiculous. Now, to go for it, John, it's who he is. To Jared Goff's point, yep, he's got the plums in the wheelbarrow. Like he is ready to make those decisions, and he is ready to be skewered if they don't get it. But you know what? For him, it's calculated. He feels like they're going to get it, and they do get it, and they get a lot of them because of this offensive line, because of this run game, because of this personnel. Well,
and you take a listen to what Jared Goff just said. If you go for it and you win, or and you convert, hey, everybody's calling them great calls. Yeah. If you go for it and you don't, you're going to roast them for it, which we would. And that's a player knowing that the coach is the one that's going to take the heat. And so Jared Goff, that offensive line, everybody on that offense knows that Dan Campbell is going to take the brunt of anything that's going to happen. So that when those are called, hey, I'm not at risk. I go out there and play fancy free and convert, because the coach is going to be the one that steps to the podium and says, hey, you know what? It wasn't these guys. It was my decision.
All right. Early returns are, people are not happy with the fourth down call at your own 31. And I get it. And I kind of came to the conclusion last night and then even into this morning thinking about it. You can't have it both ways. You can't have the most aggressive coach in football, but then you want to nitpick apart the one time when he does it when maybe you don't agree. I don't think it's possible for Dan Campbell to have the mindset as a human being to say, wait, 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 whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, you're trying to thread this needle of perfection as a fan. You have the most aggressive coach in the league. You have to accept it. You accept the good times, and far many more times it works, same with the fake punts, than it doesn't. You can't Monday morning quarterback this thing. This is who he is. Now, I will say this. I think he's been a little more conservative this season. I think he trusts the kicker, and I think situationally he has backed off a little bit. But last night, he had last year's defense.
Yeah.
So you have to do it this way with that defense. And you might not like fundamentally, I don't agree with 4th-and-1 at your own 31. You don't do that. I didn't grow up with that football. But this is who he is. And if you like the good, that happens way more than the bad. I think you've just got to take it.
You know, I think some of the disconnect here is I think a lot of NFL coaches are cowards. I think a lot of NFL coaches don't play the numbers. They don't go for it on 4th-and-shorts. And more coaches should. But when that's the standard, it makes Campbell look like this crazy person. Well, and the reality is most of these are sound decisions. Now, we can't say all.
So that's the question. Why don't they go for it?
I don't know.
Because they don't want to have to stand at the podium and say, this is a decision I made. And yeah, we came up short. It's on me. They want to say, you know, well, we didn't convert or we didn't execute. We didn't. And I'm not trying to paint every coach as throwing their team under the bus. But Dan Campbell is fine with going to the podium and saying, this one's on me. We heard it in the single loss that they had this year. That he went to the podium and said, this one's on me. The players know that. And so they've got his back. And what did he say at that? Hey, coming out of halftime, the team's got to have my back. They got to pick me up.
Yep.
It didn't happen in that one single instance. But so many coaches don't want to go to the podium if it doesn't work. That's what scares them away from it.
To Tom's point, you take the good with the bad, and there's overwhelmingly more good than bad with this mindset. Hell, 2 touchdowns in the red zone, 4th down. You want to settle for field goals? You want to score touchdowns? They had to do it. You take the good with the bad. There's far more good than there is bad. You know, I mean, in his time here in Detroit, we can point out some instances where we think he boiled over. You know, I always go to the Dallas game, but maybe other people can highlight a couple.
Say it.
But I point out how rare that is and how most of these decisions are the right decisions. So I take the good with the bad. To Tom's point, can you have it both ways? This is who he is. I don't want to change that.
Right.
Let's get the phone calls. 248-539-9797. Keith, you're on 97.1.
Hey, what up, fellas? Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy holidays. I want to say you guys are nuts, man. It's okay to take risks sometimes, but when you're deep in their territory and you go for it for no reason and you don't get it and you give them a short field to immediately march down the field and score a touchdown, that's unnecessary. That's not being smart because you're gifting them 7 points. You're gifting them points. Now, if they don't do that, if they punt the ball, you make them work for it. They might score. They might not. They might not. But at least you make them work for it. So if you take those 7 points off the board that you gifted them, you're not worried about kicking field goals or should I have to go for it late in the game because you didn't give them the points early on.
Right, but the style of that game, right? They come out, Green Bay scores touchdowns in the second half. You got to keep up. You got to possess the football. It's inches. Like, Keith, it's inches. It's not 4th-and-5.
We don't have to keep up. We were leading. They have to keep up. They have to keep up with us.
Yeah, but on the flip side, you're up because of some of those decisions that he made. They're up 10-7, and they get the ball down, and it's 4th-and-2. 3rd-and-goal from the 1, and they lose basically a yard and a half. It's 4th-and-2. They call timeout, and then they go out there and go for it, and it ends in a touchdown. That's the big difference of going up 13-7 versus going up 17-7.
Yeah, but in that particular instance, I'm not talking about the goal line situations or the first.
Yeah, you're talking about from the 31.
You're okay when they're successful, just not when they're not.
No, well, I have a saying. Hate the call, love the results. I hate the call. If it works out, great. Of course, I'm happy with it. But in the situation where we're giving them short fields, I don't like that. You know what I'm saying?
Keith, I'll meet you where you're at, okay? You're not nitpicking all the calls. There's one that you had an issue with from your own 31, and I still will defend the call. And you disagree, which is fine. It's a free country. I think the way that game was going to play out, Dan said from 4th-and-inches, I like my chances. I want to possess the football. They had given up back-to-back touchdowns to start the second half. He didn't want the defense to be on the field at all. And can you blame him? Can you really blame him if Dan Campbell goes, I don't want my defense out there while Green Bay's humming, scoring touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. They could have to go 70 yards, 80 yards. I think they're going to score touchdowns. The only way I can keep them out of the end zone is when Jared Goff's got the ball under center, and it's inches.
And if he thinks, okay, if I'm just going to punt the ball and they're going to go down and score anyway, then why would I waste that time? I need that time to be able to go down and score myself.
Yes.
I don't think he makes that decision earlier in the season.
I don't think so either.
I think it's because of the defense. So, hypothetically, I presented you guys before the show. Do you think he would have done that in the NFC Championship game? Because we were talking about situations. So he pulls that in the NFC Championship game. Guess what? If it's this defense, I support it.
Yeah.
If it's the defense from week two. Five and six, two.
Yeah, when Hutch is there.
I would play field position. Yeah. I think he would, too, I think.
Well, I think he's even said that because a lot of things were asked of him in the offseason, like, are you always going to be this aggressive? And he didn't say, yes, always. He said, what's going to depend?
The situation.
And this situation was, I got an offense. I don't have a defense. I'm starting to get into a bit of a shootout script in the second half. I don't plan on using my punter. If I don't have to use my punter, I'm not using my punter.
Yeah.
If it's fourth and 10, fine. I concede I have to. Fourth and inches, I don't have to concede jack. I'm going to go for it.
That would be Jack Fox.
Sure. And I think a lot of people are caught off guard by that because it is your own territory. You are playing with the lead. It's fourth down. Punt the ball because that's what coaches do. I think the situation called for him to be aggressive. Okay, we got calls to get to. 248-539-9797. Mike, Washington Township, you're on 97.1.
Happy Victory Friday, fellas. What's going on?
Hey, it's a great day, isn't it?
It's a beautiful Friday morning. I just want to start off. A few points here. That whole national anthem pregame thing with Matt LaFleur, I was there. I'm a season ticket holder. I was like six guys right behind the whole scuffle. Matt LaFleur saying he tried to de-escalate the whole thing is a lie. He ran up right to that guy and got right in his face, started screaming at him, get this guy out of here. He was crazy. I thought punches were going to be thrown, for sure. But this whole...
Certainly glad they weren't.
Too bad they weren't, right?
No.
I had Packers fans all around me. They were saying, if you guys lose this is a bigger loss for you than a win for us. Like, they thought like they were going to get blown out the whole game. And then when that 0-0 hit, I heard, well, at least we didn't get blown out. And, man, that just made my night. Packers fans coming in here thinking that they're going to get blown out. I knew what kind of game it was going to be. It was going to be a keep-away game for Jared Goff and that offense. I love the calls from Dan Campbell on that call where we went for it on our own 31. I'm screaming, don't turn away now. Don't change now. And, yeah, we might have turned the ball over a few times, but, hey, stick to your guns. That's a win championships. Happy Victory Friday, fellas. Happy Victory Friday.
Happy Victory Friday. Feels just as good as Victory Monday.
Yes, it's just you get to – you get to enjoy it over the weekend as you hate watch everybody else. Can the Vikings lose to Kirk Cousins? I mean, this is what we'll be doing.
Campbell's gambles, Lions win, open lines. We will touch on the LaFleur thing a little more because we haven't really talked about it. Caller brought it up, came up in the update. We can mix it in. It's 97.1. Kirby
mac
Joseph.
And cheese craft.
You talking mac and cheese?
Uh-huh.
I love it. By the way, my favorite person at the game yesterday, the guy who snuck in the cheese grater.
And the cheese?
And the block of cheese. What a hero. Game summary. This guy just going to town with the block of cheddar in the stands.
Yeah.
Beautiful. It was a chippy atmosphere. Heather, you can speak to it.
It was incredible. It was so much fun. People were into it. People were loud. The guys behind us actually got in trouble because they were a little over the top, a little obnoxious, getting into it with some Green Bay fans. Somebody around us actually told us that they went over and like reported them because it was a little like
aggressive.
Okay, I get it. It's fun a little bit, but like it was a little too much.
What were they doing? What was over the top? Profanity?
There was actually no profanity, but the way they were talking, they were...
They're obnoxious.
It was so obnoxious.
Well, there's a fine line, because on some level, I go, man, FTP, right? F the Packers. And you've won now 6 of 7 against these guys. They're our biggest rival. You're coming into our house on Thursday night. Get after them a little bit. So I'm curious, like, clearly there is a line. And John, I think we would both acknowledge a fan going at an NFL coach on the field before the game.
You cross the line.
Yeah, it's going over the line. And I love being, you know, feisty and you know, getting after it. But John, not to stick up for Matt LaFleur, but we don't need to be making throat gestures and yelling at coaches and getting in their face before games.
Oh, right before the anthem when you're out there, you know,
supposed to be
holding the flag.
Yeah.
Like, that's not the time or the place. Yeah. Like, there's plenty of, you go back into the stands, you can sit in front row, you can do whatever you want at that point. I mean, again, within common sense reason, but fans lose common sense, and we certainly had one do it on the field.
Is it okay for me to say I don't condone what the fan did on the field, but I also love that he got under LaFleur's skin because he's yelling at him, and it clearly did bother him. I'm not condoning it, but I do like that LaFleur got a little flustered.
You can't have it both ways. You can't have Dan Campbell going for it and then say you don't like it. Like that.
No,
that,
I do. I do like Dan Campbell going for it on 4th-and-1, 4th-and-2.
Right, I know, but what I'm saying, we're going to have a lot of people. We already had one call up and say, oh, I like it when it works, but I don't when it's not. Like, you can't have it both ways. You can't
I don't want the behavior. I don't want the behavior.
Right.
My opinion is I don't want a fan getting into it with an NFL coach on the field before the game.
It's a hard stop. After that, it doesn't matter.
But intrusive thoughts. It was a little amusing to me.
Okay, so then you're still okay with it.
Just a little amusing to me.
So then you're okay with it.
99% not okay with it, 1% kind of amusing.
You're such a tool.
248-539-9797.
So it's not the right place, the right time.
It's not. Yeah. And I know that.
100%.
Okay. The Campbell stuff, and we'll get back to the phone calls on this. The gambles, you know, people are pointing out, hey, I like most of them, but I didn't like maybe the last one or the one they didn't get from their own 31. And I would tell people, I understand going for it from your own side of the field with the lead is typically not the move. Typically, this wasn't a typical situation. The Packers finished the game, John, scoring on 5 of their last 6 drives, including 4 touchdowns. This defense was gutted. The shootout was on. It's inches, for crying out loud. This wasn't a typical game or a typical spot. It's not a one-size-fits-all. I actually thought it wasn't reckless. I thought it was necessary for him to go for it in that spot.
Yeah. And but so let's play it out the other way.
Yeah.
If he kicks the field goal, all right, you go up 3. And then
you're talking earlier in the game. Yeah.
No, I'm talking at the very end of the game.
Oh, yeah.
You kick the field goal, you go up 3. Now you got to kick off. And it's probably going to go into the end zone, or they're going to fair catch, whatever. And they get the ball to 25-yard line or 30.
Yeah.
And they've got to go, 45 yards to get into field goal range against the defense that in the second half was starting to wear down. I don't want to say bad. It just was starting to wear down. And let's just say that happens. They kick a field goal. Now you're going into overtime.
Coin flip.
What do we know about the overtime? It comes down to a coin
flip. You may never get the ball again.
And so that's where I think, you know, if you type this into, in the moment, should Dan Campbell go for it? You type it into AI.
Mm-hmm.
And AI spits out, no way, you know, 100% he should kick the field goal. It doesn't take into account what you know can happen down the road, what you know can happen if you do go into overtime. It can't calculate the risk of the coin flip. Like, it's just all of those things you have to take into account at that point.
And again, if you can win the game at any point.
Win it.
Yeah. If I go, hey, there's a play. You are inches away from winning the game. Your offense is the best in football. You can go for it and win the game right now. Do it. Do it.
Just go win.
And that was Dan Campbell's thought process on it. We can play that for people too, by the way. He did say, Greg, it was important for them to end the game with their offense. This was Dan Campbell justifying that final 4th down. So there you have it. Let's get fans in the mix. You guys have thoughts. Let's get to Paul in Grosse Pointe Woods. Paul, you're on 97.1.
Good morning, sir. Thank you. I don't mind going for it on 4th down on those situations. It's the thing that I don't like is the play call necessarily, because I don't like handing a ball off in the backfield like that. I like the quick hitters, like if you put a fullback in or just run the quarterback sneak with Jared Goff, because it's too risky when you hand the ball off in the backfield. The penetration is just too much. And everybody talks about Dan Campbell going for it, but believe me, he's on the headset talking to the offensive coordinator. Okay, if I go for it here, what play are you going to call? So it's a dual a dual decision by both the offensive coordinator and Dan Campbell. But
absolutely.
I think it's great that they went for it.
You just didn't like the play call. I saw a lot of that too last night, John. The people just didn't like that it was, you know, you're going 5 yards back in the backfield and hitting the edges. But people might not realize they mugged up the A-gaps.
It was right behind Penei Sewell. Are we talking about the
that's off tackle, but yeah, right? If it's off Penei Sewell, it's outside run. I'm not saying this to criticize it.
I'm not going to get into a semantics thing about whether it's outside or not. It's not a sweep.
My point is the interior on that play.
It's still a downhill run.
Okay. And up the middle, though, direct A-gap, which I think what the caller wanted, was plugged up. They condensed the formation. They had 3-4 bodies between the guards. They were selling out to stop sneak, dive, right up the gut plays.
Who's your best offensive lineman?
Penei Sewell, run behind
him. Where are you going?
I'm not criticizing
it. Said.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to Terry in Birmingham. Terry, what's up?
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Good.
You know, Dan Campbell has elite, you know, almost unprecedented ability to lead men and to motivate. And he's the perfect person for our team. And I really pray that we do win a Super Bowl. But, you know, there's a big difference between fourth and goal and going for it and the two other calls. Now, Keith talked about going for it on our, you know, own 30. That actually was fourth and almost two. I think it was fourth and 1.5. You know, that one I can even understand to some extent, but the fourth and inches one, statistically, the chances that you fail to convert that, we're caught up today in the euphoria of a great win against a division rival in a conference game. But the percentage chance that we don't make fourth and inches there is maybe 18 to 20%. And then everyone is saying, you know, this reminds us of San Francisco. The chances that with no timeouts, even Jordan Love, who's a very good quarterback, can take them from the 30-yard line to field goal position and set up a field goal with no timeouts, you just have to guard the sidelines. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult. I mean, obviously Chicago is the opposite example of incompetence, of being able to do anything with 30 seconds and a timeout. But with no timeouts, 30 seconds, the chances that Jordan Love gets them down to field goal position and they convert a field goal is maybe 1 to 2%. That's a big difference from 18%. If we don't make that fourth and inches, like Jared, you know, fell and made a miraculous handoff there, but I mean, there's an 18 to 20% chance that he doesn't convert fourth and inches. And then we're talking about overtime. And if we lose in overtime, I mean, everyone would look at that and say, my goodness, what are you doing?
Terry, of course, if it doesn't work, you're always going to set yourself up for blame. To your point, you're trying to just take it out of the result and focus on the decision itself. And you're giving us some numbers. I can't verify them, but I would tell you, even if those numbers are accurate, it doesn't factor in what defense the Lions have on the field on that day. That Lions defense is not a typical NFL defense. It's borderline an NFL defense.
We're not living in an NFL where it's a 1 to 2% chance the Packers are getting in field goal range. They only needed 3. I agree. If it's 7, a little bit different conversation. But
correct.
They only needed 3. I'm convinced the Packers would have gotten a field goal attempt. I think we live in an NFL now when you have a above average quarterback and a good offense.
Indoors, kicker.
Indoors, right environment. That getting, 30 to 40 yards and getting a field goal attempt, I actually think they probably would have gotten a field goal attempt last night. You're bringing into play pass interference, all those kind of things. This is the go for the kill analytical move. Future football. Mm-hmm. I'm still getting used to it.
It would have allowed Jaden Reed to maybe have a catch.
Exactly. Poor Rico.
Well, Jaden Reed did it to himself, right? And I talked to you guys about this before the show. He was on Amon-Ra St. Brown's podcast. I think it was in October. I think I saw, and he made the statement in response to the way Amon-Ra showed up, the Lambo leap that Amon-Ra did, all that stuff. Wait till I come to Detroit. Well, we waited.
We're still waiting. That's kind of like when Clyde Drexler back in the day, he said, this series isn't coming back to Detroit.
Yeah.
And it didn't. The Pistons won all 3 out there.
All right. We're almost jam-packed on the line, so we'll try to get as many of you guys in as we can here. If you have thoughts following that game, 248-539-9797. It's a Victory Friday. It's 97-1. Tim Patrick hadn't scored a touchdown since 2021. He scored 2 of them last night in a huge spot against the Packers. Lions win. It's a victory Friday, and it feels just as good as a victory Monday. The Lions have won 11 straight. They're 12-1. They've clinched a playoff spot, and they did it with a defense that is a shit. That was missing key players up and down the front seven, and then lost to Liam McNeil in game. Didn't matter. Still found a way to win, and they used all four downs. Much to the dismay and nervousness of Lions fans, they used all four downs, including a fourth down from their own territory with the lead. Didn't get it, but late in the game, yep. Drained the clock with another fourth and inches, another move that may have made you nervous, but it's who Dan Campbell is. And I thought in this game, with that defense and with this offense, it called for it. It was necessary.
Yeah, and maybe you're nervous whether they converted or not, but you're not nervous about the decision. You knew he was going to go for it. And I know on the broadcast they were talking about not going for it. Oh, well, they're going to call a timeout. They're going to bring out the kicking team. You go up three, and there's only 40 seconds left. There's no timeouts. Okay, they're giving you every advantage that the Lions have at that point, but there's no context of how many times has this – when you give away the advantages, you give away the momentum. And, yeah, there is some momentum in kicking a field goal, but there's a lot of momentum that Green Bay picks up because they stopped you. They forced you to kick a field goal, and they earned the opportunity to go tie it or win it.
We're going to play Dan Campbell's full locker room speech as the show gets going here. We have a snippet, a teaser, if you will. Yep. This is Dan Campbell addressing the team afterwards.
Team of Destiny. Not the first time we've used that moniker this year.
Says we're destined for this, and says that the pressure, they're built for this.
Well, how about Jake Bates?
Three-game winners in his first year.
And I referenced, I think you were in the bathroom this morning, pre-show. Oh. I said to Jim, I go, he actually looks a little bit like Kerry Carpenter.
He does. A little bit? I guess if you squint.
Yeah, you got to. Kerry Carpenter's skinnier in the face, like John Jansen skinny. And then if Jake Bates' hair is longer. But if you really look at him, like facially, then kind of.
Think about it, too, by the way. Three-game winners all against playoff teams. Packers, Vikings, Texans. This no, team of Destiny. I mean, I don't think it's really a big ask of the fan base. Do you feel this? Because I think we all kind of feel like they are going to win the Super Bowl, right? That they are well on their way.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the 12-1, they clinched a playoff spot. And right now you're looking at, okay, you're just simply thinking about how do they finish this off and get the one seed? And we talked about it this week. Right? And we'll have 10 days to talk about the game up to the Bills. But if they lose to the Bills, they still win the tiebreaker.
Yeah, all of them.
And you look at the rest of their schedule, and you're like, okay, yeah, there's not a game on there where you're, you know, they're all NFL games. They're all NFL teams. But at the Bears, at San Francisco, Vikings, been there, done that.
Ticket text 248-539-9797. Dan Campbell's thought process is fourth in Super Bowl. Dan Gamble is showing the fans in Detroit and everywhere there is more than one way to grate a hunk of cheese, and he is changing the game. Love it.
Mm-hmm.
The way LaFleur acted last night, it's like we faced Ryan Day twice in 1 week. John is 100% right. That's right for you. This one says, John's 100% right. You either like the aggressiveness or you don't. You can't judge it whether it's successful or not. I can live with it since I've lived through the dark days. Monty Clark, Dale Rogers, Eminem, etc., all of them. I've prayed for a coach like this. That's Dave K.
Yeah, I mean, being passive, it just hasn't worked for generations here. Now we got a guy that just, you know what? It's literally, I'm just going for it. Like, I want us to be the ones that win or lose the game. I don't want to put this in somebody else's hands to say, oh, well, okay, yeah, we're lucky they missed a field goal. Or we're lucky we got the coin toss.
Lions took 5 years off my life on that last fourth down, but I'm here for it. Franchise record win streak. It's working. People need to stop bitching. Ryan in Lake Orion.
About quality of life. That last 5 years probably weren't going to be your best five, so enjoy it now.
Heather, what were the nerves like for you and Colin?
Oh my gosh. I was so into this game. I almost had tears in my eyes afterward. Like we were so into it. And
this team has moved you to near tears.
Yes.
How about Colin?
He did not cry, but he was
not in front of anybody.
Yeah, at home later.
I gotta go use the restroom.
Yeah, it was so exciting.
What time did you guys get home?
really late. Like I was telling you during a commercial break, I didn't have any drinks because I knew I had to wake up at 4:30.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm hungover.
Sure. I mean, you had about an hour and a half or 2 hours of not high quality sleep.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So you did exactly what I did with the Cleveland game. You just spontaneously did something yesterday and look at you. You're like, you love it. You feel like garbage. Yes. Who cares?
As long as I get a little nap today,
oh, good luck.
Then I won't care. Just a little one.
Hey, all adrenaline.
It was awesome. Yeah. It was worth it. I'm so glad we went. It was such a great game.
Was Colin able to see the last the field goal go through the post?
It was tough. Because everyone was standing up, right? So it was really tough. But
was he on the seat?
Did you put him on your shoulders?
Yeah, I did. Actually, that's why I was almost crying. Because I was like, I can't do this anymore.
Colin up so he gets, the little fella can see.
So, John, when you go to these Lions games, they do the Simba cam. You know what I'm talking about? Was that what? Colin, see?
Oh, yes.
You can see.
Oh, my goodness. You're taking this. This is
unbelievable. I love the Simba cam.
You don't like the Simba cam?
I do like the Simba cam. I don't love infants at games.
Okay, I mean, I get that.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, these are events. You don't have to leave early. Kids can't make it the whole game sometimes.
Every time they show a baby, I'm like, put that baby to bed.
Kid's not going to remember being there.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get some phone calls in. Let's get to Mark in Oak Park. Mark, you're on 97.1. Mark?
Mark, good morning.
Mark, you got some other stuff going on. Let's get to DeVell. You're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
That's good. So here's the thing with people talking about they're good with it sometime and with Dan Campbell gambling, not the others. The whole nature of gambling, okay, is that you going in, whether it's cards, casino, lottery, whatever, dice, you know that you're going to lose more than you win. You know that going in. The fact that Dan Campbell gambles and he wins way more than he loses, I'm good with that. It's just that some of the losses that he did on gambling, they just pop out and stand out and glare a little bit. But other than that, by him being good with it, these are calculated. Now I can see if these were all willy-nilly decisions, he's doing it on the way. He's not. These are calculated decisions. Yep. He's discussing it with people. He knows what he has. I go back to the San Francisco game, which pissed me off initially, but the more I look at it, he gambled, but he actually thought about it. We were in a position to succeed. Josh Reynolds dropped the ball.
Right. Okay. I defended it at the time. I'll defend it to this day. It's 4th and 2. You're playing to win. Short yardage. High percentage. Catch the ball and hit him in the hands.
As a player, all I wanted was a coach to put me in position to win and then believe in me that I'll get the job done. Now, you're not going to be perfect. No one expects perfection. But you, as a player, you want to know that your coach believes in you and then they put you in the best possible decision for success. Josh Reynolds, he was in the best possible position for success. It just didn't work out that time.
Campbell's gambles, where you at on him? 5 fourth down decisions in yesterday's game. And then the comment afterwards, team of destiny. Do you feel that this is a team destined to win the Super Bowl? It's 97.1. End of year. Start making some plans for the holidays. Also start looking around, maybe getting a new vehicle. Moran Chevrolet is closing out 2024 with awesome pricing all month long. It's their red tag sales event. So get off the sidelines, get into the game with Moran Chevrolet, where GM employees and immediate family members can lease a 2024 all-wheel drive Blazer EV for $199 a month. Are you kidding me? 24 months, $999 down. It's Moran Chevrolet, where you always get the best price, period. Score your best deal at MoranExpress.com. Stop by. They're on Gratiot, north of 15 Mile in Clinton Township. Chevrolet, together, let's drive. Dan Miller's call. What a game. Just an epic football game.
Yeah.
Dramatic. The Lions win. They do it shorthanded. They find a way to get it done again.
It was so much fun. So much fun to watch that game. And then to go back and, I mean, there's so many different ways that you can watch highlights. And you don't have to, you know, fast forward through some of the game. You know what you want to watch. But to be able to relive it so many different ways and so many different times last night is just, and this morning again, it was so much fun.
Some of you got up early. Some of you have been waiting on hold far too long. Let's start talking to people. Kyler in South Lyon. Kyler, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Good morning. I just wanted to bring up a point that if, you know, Dan Campbell doesn't go for it and punts on that 30 on our own end zone, and you punt it down, that wastes 5-6 more minutes that we might not have at the end of the game. You know, so it's a smart call to go for it when you have a vulnerable defense.
Yeah, I think he really had to factor in what he had defensively. And knowing, we talked about TOP, time of possession, they had 36 minutes of possession, and it's because of keeping drives alive. Now, they didn't get that fourth down, right? They didn't get that fourth and inches from their own 31-yard line. And people are going to go, ah, you can't do that, because conventional wisdom is you punt the ball with the lead from your own territory. But this isn't a conventional football game. John, their defense is anything but conventional. Who are these people? Who is Zeke Turner?
Yeah.
We know Pat O'Connor because he went to EMU, but seriously, who's Pat O'Connor? He coached that game for the personnel he had.
You look at the box score, and you look at all of the guys that had an impact. Now, we know that Broderick Martin was a draft pick.
Yeah.
Did anybody even know he was off IR? He had two snaps at the very end of the Chicago game. That's all he's had this year, and now all of a sudden you look at it going, he was a factor in that game. It was Jonah Williams, Pat O'Connor, Mitchell Agudé.
Who? Like,
I mean, it's Miles Adams.
Like, that's a guy you said the other day, and that's not real. You're messing with me. No, but he is a real person. He was on Seattle most recently on a practice squad. These are practice squad players.
So you have guys that are stepping in. And when we talk to Dan Campbell, and he's mentioned this a number of times throughout the course of the year, when Hutch goes down, hey, it's next man up. But it's this year, this week, he talked about, you're not on this team unless you're a football player. And they're counting on their football players to go out there and perform. Now, I don't think anybody is looking at, even Za'Darius Smith, we're not asking him to be Aiden Hutchinson. We're just asking him to be the best version of himself. We're asking Broderick Martin to be the best version of himself. They were all chosen to be here for a reason. Other guys could have been here. They chose these guys. Now just go out there and be the best version of yourself. And Dan Campbell has said, if they do that, we will win.
They're chosen to be here. Some would say they were destined to be here, John. Mm-hmm. Let's get to Heather in the news.
Thank you. There we go. There was a brief tsunami warning on the West Coast after a 7.0 magnitude earthquake rocked the northern coast of California. So the earthquake struck late Thursday morning. This was off the coast of Humboldt County. And officials said that it occurred at a depth of 8 miles, which is below the ocean floor. So it was, in the ocean, obviously. Tsunami warnings followed right after that in the areas, including San Francisco. Public transit put on hold. Zoos evacuated. Like, this was a big deal, sure. Right? But thankfully, the warning was eventually called off. There were no reports of injury or damage. So, great news.
Good.
As the search extends into its third day, authorities are still trying to uncover more and more clues as to who the killer of that United Healthcare CEO, Brian Thompson, is. Police have released some new photos of surveillance footage that shows the suspect having this, like, flirtatious moment with a woman at the hostel where he was staying. And in that flirtatious moment, he takes that face mask down. You can see his entire face. You can see him smiling. They're obviously hoping that photo is going to be a big clue. Like, does somebody recognize him? Somebody must recognize who this guy is. Police also found, like, a burner phone and a water bottle at the scene of the crime. They believe belonged to this man. They were able to lift a print from the water bottle, but they said it was smudged, so it's not a great print. They're hoping maybe he drank out of the water bottle. There's some DNA. They know that he traveled by bus, a Greyhound bus from Atlanta to New York. They know he used a fake ID and cash to get his hostel room when he checked in. So they're working hard, but they still have not got this guy.
I don't want to gloss over that. We have a picture of his face. Yes. We think it's him.
Yes.
Because he was spitting game?
Yes.
Because he was trying to hit on somebody?
He was flirting with the woman behind the counter.
Caught being horny.
So they say. That smile, you'd guess. Who knows? Michigan State Police are investigating a suspicious death of a Macomb County 18-year-old who was found with an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound on Wednesday night. Now, police say while they were interviewing the teen who actually called 911, they discovered that it was her boyfriend who made the phone call. And then they started noticing there was a lot of inconsistencies in his story about what led up to the shooting. They're not really giving any more information about the death, or what made it be suspicious to them, but they are investigating. If you're thinking about getting a tattoo, now could be the perfect time.
Oh, really?
Because there's a tattoo company in Detroit that's trading free tattoos for new donated toys to help families during the holidays. So the Motown Tattoo Company is hosting its yearly Toys for Tats event later this month on December 21st. Anyone who donates a new unopened toy with receipts will get a free tattoo of equal value to the toy. So it depends what you want to get
done. Spending
if you want
either way.
If you want a small tattoo, you could
get a small toy.
Exactly. Yeah. But if you're going for like a full sleeve, you better come with a boatload of toys, right? Yeah. So last year, the event supported more than 120 families. The goal is to reach even more than this year. They also say Herman Moore is going to be there to make a little guest appearance as well.
Oh, is he going to get some ink?
He might. Huh. See how many toys he shows up with, right? Pretty cool.
It's Heather with the news. Lions fans, you're on hold. We'll hear from you next. It's 97.1.